Well, greetings in the name of Jesus. It is always refreshing to the soul to just sing and focus on Jesus. Thank you for those songs. I remember hearing a quote from a theologian that spent most of his life in studying God, studying his attributes, writing, and so on. And I think it was closer to the end of his life. He said something like this. He said, what is one of the most profound statements about God that you could articulate and summarize? And he thought for a bit, and he said, Jesus loves me. Yeah. That little statement that children sing is so, or not only children, but we often think of it as a children's song, is one of the most profound statements of theology that this man could comprehend. Jesus loves me. And I have a very simple message this morning. And it's, Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. I would like you to turn. Now, if I would ask, I already kind of gave it away, but if I would ask you what is one of the most quoted verses in the entire world from the Bible, what would you say? Probably John 3:16. It's said that that is the most quoted and the most favorite verse in the entire Bible around the world. I don't know how you can arrive at those statistics, but I believe it's true. I mean, most people, most Christians could quote John 3:16. Some of us are limited in our quotation, right? But most of us could quote John 3:16. So we often refer to verses and say, oh, you don't have to bother turning to them. Open your Bible, okay, to John 3:16. I want you to open your Bibles. I want you to look at every word. Somebody said if you really want comprehension, you visual and hearing and as many senses as we can put into this. But John 3:16... I remember one day having it dawn on me that the context of John 3:16, maybe I just throw this out as a question. Who was John 3:16 said to? It's of course Jesus speaking. Who was he talking to? Isn't that amazing? I have separated those two accounts in my mind for I remember it dawning on me that this was a personal conversation in the shadows of the night where Nicodemus was a little bit sheepish, right? Having a one-on-one conversation with the controversial figure of the day, Jesus. And I wonder if this verse was said with a hand on the shoulder, love that you don't only hear, but you feel. That you feel. And you know what I'm talking about, right? You know what it's like to hear, I love you. But you know what it's like to feel, I love you. So let's, eyes on the verse. Slowly I'm going to read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's say it together now. Let's emphasize so loved, okay? Are we ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, there is so much in this verse. We could easily take this verse and make 5 points or more. Just even as I was reading it, words were just jumping out at me like, only. Whosoever should not perish. That tells me that there will be those that perish. But the love that comes from God does not want anyone to perish, but have everlasting life. And it's kind of hard to just break in and just get that verse, but I don't want to do the passage injustice this morning on just focusing on the word love. Now, I am told that the Greek language is one of the most richest, or one of the richest languages, and I have never really took a lot of time to study Greek. I admire those that have put a lot of study into Greek and have more comprehension of the original language, but there's often times where it takes several English words to get close to some of the Greek words, and it almost seems like John was struggling to find words to get a hold of it. And you know what? He could have said, God loved the world. I know it's a translation, but it just seems that there's something that God so loved the world. And I would just like to just speak about the subject of love this morning. Do you know that love is the most powerful force in the world? We're all a product of our own experience, and so of course I resort, when I think of this subject, I think of several stories that I heard, some that are firsthand with me, some that I wasn't present, but I heard about it, and if I would illustrate it, I often go to these stories because they impacted me. I was sitting in a living room in a state far away from here on a Sunday afternoon, and we were just fellowshipping. And I'll never forget an older gentleman, probably, he's no longer living, he was probably in his 70s or so, and I don't even know what the conversation was about, but I'll never forget what he said. He said his family was together on Christmas, for a family gathering. I'm not even sure if it was a holiday, but it was a family gathering, and he was in his teenage years, and he was rebellious. And he was out, and he said, incidentally, I was at a bar that night, and the whole family was at home. And he said, I'll never forget, I came home, and of course, the whole family was there. He said, my mother met me at the door. And he said, when my mom met me at the door, she must have had an intuition where he was. You know, sometimes moms just have that. Incredible intuition. And she looked at him and she said, where were you? And he couldn't answer because he knew she knew. And she said, I love you. He said that was more than he could handle. It was life changing. Love is powerful. You heard the story, I'm assuming, about David Wilkerson. Gary was talking about New York City and the things that happened in New York City. And I've been to New York. We got a daughter that lived in New York City for a while, and I can identify to some of the things that happen in the city. It can happen anywhere. But anyway, David Wilkerson was ministering to gang members in the darkest streets and darkest corners of New York City. And he went up and shared the gospel to one of the meanest gangsters. And the gangster looked at him and said, preacher, you talk like that to me and I'll cut you up into 1,000 pieces. And David Wilkerson said, that's fine, go right ahead. But as you're doing it, every piece will cry out, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's not the lingo on the streets of New York City. Nikki Cruz didn't know what to do with that. It was too powerful. It was life-changing. One day, Fanny Crosby was ministering to a group of children. And I don't know all of the story. I remember hearing it. I just wish I had it documented. I went searching for this, and I can't seem to come up with all the content of it. But here's what I remember. In a large group of children, she discovered that one was abandoned and orphaned and just didn't feel loved. And Fanny Crosby just took her up in her arms and just blessed that child and loved her. Loved him the best that she knew how. And apparently that totally changed his life. In fact, when you pick up your hymnal and read and sing Rescue the Perishing that Fanny Crosby wrote, you're going to come to the verse that says, touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, cords that were broken will vibrate once more. She's referring to that story, that incident. I'm telling you, I'm talking about a force that is powerful. Powerful. Love. But you know, there's a greater story than any human story we could ever muster up. And that's the story of the God of heaven making man in his own image and said it was very good. And then man turning against his creator and rebelling, and soon the whole earth was just full of violence and wickedness. But divine love had a plan. The divine love sent Jesus and lived the perfect life of service and help and oh, the refreshing read of the life of Jesus, only to have the story not conclude, but towards the end of his life on earth, have the very wicked men that were rebelling against the God of heaven take him and give him put him to a cruel death. And that's that dear son's own blood shed at the foot of the cross, saying, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what to do. And that was the redemption plan to buy back man that rebelled against him. You talk about love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I have no idea what all we're facing here as a group this morning. We have our journeys, and sometimes our journeys are hard, and sometimes they're very just overflowing with joy. And I have no idea what all God has intended for this message, but I know that he has an intention. I know that. And it's my desire and my goal to bring every one of us face to face with a love that's really hard to get away from. A love that draws you to the most inner, intimate parts of God himself. I'm not sure there's a theme that has brought more people to Christ than God so loved the world. I don't want to minimize the law of the theme of law and judgment. Okay, we do need that. We need to understand the holy laws of God and how man is violated. In fact, you'll never understand the love of God until you come to grips with the law that you violated and you come to your knees at the cross. You'll never understand the love of God apart from kneeling at Calvary. It's impossible. In fact, Romans is probably one of my favorite books. Some of the parts of it are just hard to understand. You know, I agree with Peter when he says Paul writes, and sometimes they're hard to understand. But Peter says that some men just ignore it because of the hard things that he writes, and they twist it to their own destruction. That's Peter referencing Paul. But one thing about the book of Romans, even though it's hard, it is the most systematic theology book, I believe that's in the Bible. What I mean by systematic theology, it starts with sin. And sometimes it's amazing to me that Romans 1, 2, and 3 are all focused on man and his sin. It focuses on the horrors of, you know, out there. And then it focuses on the religious who put their heads up in the air and depend on their religious whatever. And then at the end of Romans 3, it talks of it's till every mouth stopped. Every mouth stopped and were guilty before God. So that's a very important part. When I say the love of God probably has brought more people to Christ than any other theme, don't ever minimize the importance of a standard, God's standard that man violates. I love the song, Years I Spend in Vanity and Pride, and there's a verse in there that says, "Then I trembled at the law I spurned, until my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary." That's what he's talking about. He's talking about, I understood the law and how I violated whatever you want to call it. Just coming to accountability and understanding that I've sinned. But in the last verse of that same song, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary." So let's come back to this subject of love. When you feel the love of God, it's not about who you are. Or yeah, it is who you are and what you've done. But despite that, God loves me. God loves me. Back to the theologian. One of the most powerful truths that I learned in all of life, Jesus loves me. That's going to draw you to the source of love, God Himself. And you know, you cannot argue with love. Love generally stops the mouth. Love. And I just want to encourage us to embrace the love. Another subject that in relation to love is loving one another. So important. But the only way you can love one another is having the love of God. Back to the beautiful book of Romans. Paul writes, the love of God, it's shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot packed in Romans 5, and in that same context, God commended his love towards us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. I'll be honest, I feel a total loss. I'm just scratching some thoughts together on the love of God. That's like asking my youngest grandchild to write a biography of me. Really. I think the hymn writer, Frederick Lehman, when he wrote The Love of God, I think he was sensing some of that. No tongue, no pen can ever tell. It's highest than the highest star. If all the ocean would be ink, what is it? All the skies would be part, or the paper, all the skies are part of it, the ocean's ink, and everybody in the whole world, 7 billion plus, is a scribe. We couldn't even touch it. I think he's getting close to it. Ephesians. Paul is praying for the Ephesians, and he says, "Oh, that you would comprehend with all saints, what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, and you can be filled with the fullness of God." So that's where I'm at. I don't know how. So I'm gonna turn to, I think, one of the most underrated books in the entire Bible. Anybody want to take a guess? I bet you won't guess it. I said it before, so maybe you did hear me say it. One of the most underrated books in the whole Bible. Some people might squirm a little bit when I say it. Yes, thank you. It is so underrated. I'm serious. Some people say, you know, they're kind of an argument what the Song of Solomon is. Is it about Israel and God, or is it Christ and the church, or is it actually between Solomon and the Shunammite? Is it literal, or allegory? I have a strong belief. You know which one it is to all those? Yes. It applies to every argument of what it really is. It's such a beautiful book that depicts intimacy and love. I don't care if you do Christ in the church. I don't care if you do Israel wooing, God wooing Israel back. I don't care if you do a Solomon and the Shunammite woman. It is a book that just highlights relationship at the deepest level. It is such a beautiful book. And I'd just like to read in chapter 2, if you want to turn to it, if you're taking notes, Song of Solomon 2:4. And it's hard to break in here, but I'm after a thought. And of course, the context is the two are just engaged in just deep relationship. Sitting down under the shadow of an apple tree, great delight, fruit. His fruit was sweet to my taste. And then she says, this is the woman talking, and she says, he brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now, that is some really powerful words. The banqueting house. I'm gonna jump around here, so you're gonna have to kind of stay with me. Hopefully you can follow my train of thought. But when I think of the banqueting house, I can't help but think of Jesus talking about giving the picture in Luke 14 where the invitation was given to a banquet and people were just too busy. And he got frustrated. The owner got frustrated and said, well, then just go get the halt, the blind, the maimed. In other words, everybody is too busy to come to the banquet. Well, then just go get the people that can't walk here, that can't see, that can't. And they sat around the table like, I believe it really happened. This, they went and got, so you got people that were just absolutely, totally unworthy to be there. And they sat around the banquet table. It wasn't their legs that they, hi, got me here, or my. No, they were just helpless. I hope you're drawing the analogies of God bringing us to his banqueting table. And what's so beautiful, there we sit at the banqueting table. And that's enough just to be there. Then to have the host. What I should have done is made a big banner. And just being... I don't know what to, I guess just write love, but you could write a lot more than that. His banner over me is love. What's a banner for? Did you ever make a banner? In my opinion, there's two main, there's probably several ways to answer it, but in my opinion, there's two basic purposes for a banner. And number one is identity. I think the Old Testament, oftentimes the army would have a banner. And I think David says, the Lord is my banner at one point, but identity. And secondly, proclamation. Get the message out. I like them both. I mean, just think about you sitting at a table. A banqueting house, and then there comes this big banner over you. I love you. I love you. You're mine. I bought you. You fill in the blanks. You could write a lot of things on this banner. You could go through the scripture and talk about so many verses that refer to God's love, and we could put a lot of things on this banner, but just his banner over you, his banner over me is love. I want that to just touch every heart this morning. Every one of us, wherever we're at. Love. Remember, it's a love that it's pretty hard to get away from. It's a love that has an effect. So it does. If we're discouraged, if we're sick, if we're healthy, if we're happy, if we failed, if we succeeded, if we are experiencing misfortune, if things are going well, if somebody left you down, look at the banner. The banner over me, the banner over you is love. What is really sad is that we have an enemy, and I believe one of our enemy's objectives is to make you believe that nobody understands you and nobody loves you. And that's real. And sometimes we do go through lonely valleys that the Lord probably is the only one that really understands. We all have our gardens. Jesus had a garden. He was forsaken in the garden. Nobody understood him in the garden. But he was faithful in his garden. He looked in the cup and he said, I don't want it. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So there are times where we do feel that way, but I believe the enemy wants us to feel like nobody understands and nobody loves us, and that's a lie. That's a lie. There's often times we are forsaken and feel forsaken, but I've discovered that even when I'm not understood, there's still a lot of people that love me. And I can assure you, there's a lot of people that love you. And ultimately, there's a God of heaven that gave everything for you, for me. Love. I want to quickly wave the banner over a few different people this morning. Let's start with the children. Oh, I'd love to get all the children up here. I don't have the banner. I wish I would have. But I'd love to just be in your minds. I want you to visualize the children and a big banner. Can every child, you with me? I want you to see a big banner that God's waving. I love. And if you need a more than just that picture, you can go to the Bible, God's inspired word, and you will find that Jesus was not happy when adults said, don't worry about the children. He was not happy. Some of the adults thought, there's important things to do and we don't have time. He took the children on his lap and blessed them. Children, you know that. If you would have been alive when Jesus was walking through your town, he would have picked you up and you would have felt a love that I believe that you could never, ever forget. So I want to wave the banner over the children. Oh, Jesus loves the little children. Now I'm going to wave a banner over, if I would tell you to name one of the most cruelest persons in the world. Some of these people, there are people that wish they would be dead because they're doing such atrocious things. But God commendeth his love. God doesn't love what people do. He hates what bad people do. But he loves. You know that man, Nicky Cruz? He was doing wicked things. And he embraced love from a man. Ultimately, he felt God's love and responded to God's love. Maybe that's a stretch, thinking really bad people. But think of another story that a rich young ruler came running to Jesus. And Jesus and him had a little chat. Jesus said, here's what you need to do. He wasn't willing to do it. And he went away sad. But when he came running, the Bible clearly says that Jesus looked at him and loved him. So sometimes love has to say hard things The banner of love is flying over the children. The banner of love is flying over the sinner. The banner of love is flying over the saints. And I've already read Ephesians 3. We just can't comprehend the love of God. In John, he says, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It almost seems like he was struggling for words. That's the same John that wrote, for God so loved the world. It's almost like he, later in life, he's saying, oh, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can become the banner of love over the saint. When we think of redemption, when we think of adoption, when we think of sanctification, when we think of our inheritance, the joy of the Lord, oh my, the banner of love is just over the saint. The banner of love is over those that are in distress. And you just have to go out to the boat. Amos is talking about the boat in the troubled waters, you know. And they were afraid. But you just watch Jesus. He just calms everything, even calmed the sea. The banner of love. The banner of love over the wayward. How about those that are just growing cold? Oh, I wish every person that their heart is growing cold. And maybe that's some of us here this morning. Maybe some of us are just, the Bible says many in the last days, their love will wax cold. That's scary. That actually scares me. Many will be offended. Many will be deceived, Matthew 24. And many, the love of many will wax cold. And I appreciate, Steve, your screen, what you see on your screen to remind you. I need that. But there's a few pictures in the Bible that just really touch my heart, and one of them is in Luke 15. There's 100 sheep, 99 are just fine, and one left. And what does the loving shepherd do? Well, we got 99. He goes out and he finds the lost one and he brings him back. Maybe that's some of us here this morning. What about the prodigal son? That's in the same chapter, Luke 15. Oh, the prodigal son. He left everything. And he's in the pig pen. One day he came to his senses. What am I doing here? Some of us need to do that. What am I doing here? And his father was watching and came running. I'm waving the banner of love. There's no exceptions. God loves you. God loves me. The banner over us is love. And my prayer is that focus and meditation on that simple truth, it's nothing new, but I pray that it'll soften my heart and it'll soften your heart. And it'll have the effect of reciprocal love. You know, love is reciprocal. To just feel the love of Christ. I think, you know, we sing that song, I want to love him more, I want to love him more. He's done so very much for me, I want to love him. But I think the way to love him more is it's to realize what God did for you. So, God bless you in your journey. Wherever you're at, I want you to know that God loves you, and Jesus loves you, and that same love that just transforms hearts and minds is available to us today. And not only that, but God can use us as channels to show that love. Maybe we'll meet a Nikki Cruz this week. Maybe we'll meet a child this week that is believing lies. Maybe we'll meet somebody that is a prodigal. Maybe, and that love that's shed abroad in our hearts can do amazing things through the power of the Holy Ghost. God's love. Let's say it one more. Let's all stand. Let's say it one time together. I'll pray, and then we can have a verse and a song and be dismissed. So let's all say it one more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for so loving us. So loving us. And I pray that that love would be our guide. And if there's anyone here that is fighting against your love, God, I pray that the heart would be so smitten and so soft that we all, in a sense, would just come running to you for even a deeper relationship. Thank you for each person here. Would you bless us as we dismiss? In Jesus' name, amen.